League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And we are back on the Blitz live here at the Hyatt in the Galleria, which is an awesome place. And if you're looking for a weekend getaway, and like I know we have a lot of folks listening over in the Golden Triangle, hey, come on over for the weekend. Stay here at the Hyatt. The bar here is fantastic. You come out now, you'll beat the weather. You get a chance to meet Phil Garner, who's sitting here with us now, former Astros manager, player, and maybe one of the most famous mustaches in all of sports for the longest time.
I would argue it, yeah. I'm more impressed with these pants. What color would you call this?
I would call this very stylish.
I do, too.
It's very avant-garde. I mean, I'm with it.
I think so. Plum.
That's
what I thought. Yeah. And then you've got matching socks with it.
Yeah.
Did your wife pick this out, or did you do that all by yourself?
No. I've been known to.
That's your thing. You're a fashionista.
I'm a fashionista. Yeah, my day we call it fashion mavens, but I guess
okay, same thing.
And get up with the lingo of the day.
Now, does it worry her that you go out dressed so snazzy? I mean, all the ladies must be flocking.
No, because I generally get food on my shirt and pants within 10 minutes.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
So baseball starting. How much fun was it for you to watch the Astros last year?
Well, I've been over the years. I love participating in any of the sports, but I'm not a, what I would call it, a great fan. I don't go to games. I don't sit and watch a lot of them on TV. But Altuve a couple of years ago started getting to me, and I really enjoy watching him play. I mean, he personifies what a lot of managers and people in baseball say. You know, have fun. Just have fun, you know. And Willie Stargell used to say, hey, when they start the game, they don't say work ball, they say play ball. Well, if anybody personifies what playing and having a good time is all about, it's Altuve. So I really enjoyed getting to watch him play. And then it was catching, and the whole team winning. The city kind of got into it. I mean, I had a blast. I know everybody else did, too. It was great.
I think they got so lucky with Altuve to have him for so long, and for really at such a discounted price, because you don't get players like that for cheap anymore. I mean, it's almost impossible to have an MVP caliber player making almost a league minimum, but really. And I'm glad they decided to take care of that guy long term, because I said for years, if Fred agreed, they should have just torn up his contract and given him more money just out of good faith.
Well, I perhaps they tried to. You never know what happens in some of those situations, but I'm glad it happened. I happened to be over in spring training, and I was at Jim Crane's place called the Floridian one morning. He came in and said he'd just gotten off the phone with Boris, the agent for Altuve, and he was hopeful they were going to get him signed. And I had my fingers crossed, because Boris has not been really good about letting those great type A free agent players signed back with their original team. So I was excited to hear that they got it done.
How much of that is a guy saying, hey, I want to stay here, get me a deal done?
Great deal of that's the player itself. You got to give Crane credit for making the commitment to get it done too. But I think in large part, Jose said, look, do what you can to make it work here in Houston. So I tip my hat to him for that.
How hard is it? And you've managed a team that went to the World Series. I want to ask you about that in a second. But to go that far, play that many games, how hard is it the next season to avoid a hangover? I mean, they've got – and obviously they were even better when they had a guy like Gerrit Cole. I mean, they've got so much talent on this team. But how do you avoid that hangover?
Well, I don't see that they're going to have a hangover. And a hangover to me is do you forget a little bit things – you get a little cavalier about your workout habits and how you feel about your approach to the game. We won it. You know, I don't have to grind as hard as I did the last few years. I didn't see that in spring training, not at all, and I don't hear it from AJ when he talks about the team. So I'm not so much concerned about that. But what does concern me, and I played in a World Series team in 1979 with Pittsburgh, and just, you know, in 1979, we had a couple of things came to mind immediately. We were talking about this the other day around the golf course, you know, talking about how good the Astros really are. Saying, you know, in 79, We had Tim Foley, who was batting second. We had Omar Marino, who was our base stealer. And twice during that year, they had pitch outs. And when Marino was stealing the base, and Foley threw his bat, actually threw his bat, left his hand, hit the ball. It went over the first baseman's head and landed right on the line. And so going fast forward to 1980, those same plays, he missed the ball, and those balls that were just on the chalk were 2 inches off the chalk, and they were foul. It's almost like the gods of baseball said, you know what, your time was 1979, 1980, we're going to let somebody else do it. So I hope that doesn't happen to the Astros. And let's face it, they're good. And they're, I think I agree with you, kind of alluded to it. I think they're actually better this time this year than they were last year, certainly on paper.
Right. And a full season with Verlander.
And so yeah. I just don't see that that they're taking this thing cavalierly or they're very complacent.
So I want to take you back to 2005 because that team did not start off very well, and there was this knucklehead at the Chronicle who put a tombstone on you, who I know that guy very well.
Who's that knucklehead?
What a dummy.
Yeah. But there was a thought process behind it in my defense. But, no, you guys start off poorly, but really it was just a matter, you guys were pitching well. You guys just weren't scoring runs, and then you just kind of grinded and grinded, and then when the season got going, you guys tore it up. I mean, what was the key to that?
Well, I don't know. I don't. You know, you try to go back and you say, because everybody wants to know that what was the game, what was the player, or whatever happened. I think probably if I'm going to say one thing, it was probably when we got Berkman back full steam right there. You know, 3 months in the season, he'd had some injuries, he'd had some problems, and then when he got going, it looked like everybody else caught on fire. But you're exactly right. We couldn't score a run the first couple of months of the season. We had some great pitching performances. We had good pitching staff, and we just couldn't put anything together to get anything going. So I'd say if there was any one thing I had to point to, it's probably getting Berkman back and him getting on a roll.
You managed so many great players during that, well, throughout your career. Is there one guy you stand out? And then I also want to ask you about the Hall of Fame with Roger, because to me, if he's not in the Hall of Fame, I don't know if there should be one.
Well, good that you would bring that up, because if you ask me, and I have managed great Hall of Famers, Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, guys of that caliber. And the one guy that I put above everybody is Roger Clemens. And I do that. They're all talented and super talented in their own right, and that's why we have the Hall of Fame. But Roger actually thrived in those situations. He loves being in front of the public. He wants to be the guy. And it's the criminal part of all this thing that's going on is that he's not in the Hall of Fame, and that's the one thing that he kind of needs. He needs it more than anybody else, I think. But when it comes to pure talent and his pure what he accomplished on the field, is a lot of people use the word body of work. He's a Hall of Fame guy, and I was at his trial. I testified at his trial in the federal government on what he had said. And there was a really telltale deal. The assistant general manager for Boston had been tasked with going back over Roger's career at the time. He was trying to sign a 2-year contract with Roger wanted a 3-year contract. Boston wanted to give him a 2-year. So the assistant GM did a profile of Roger's career, and his career went sort of like a half moon. It had peaked as he'd gotten middle age, which they all do, and it had just slid down. But he was in a band of performance numbers that whole time. One of the things you noticed in the steroid era, that the guys, you could see when they started taking it, because they'd be in that band, and all of a sudden they get to be 32, 33 years old, and wow, their performance numbers jump 20%, Well, Rogers never did that. So even if he did, sir, it didn't actually do a whole lot for him. So I did not see any evidence that anything was going on. I think he's a Hall of Fame guy, no question.
You feel the same way about Barry Bonds?
No, because I think Barry did okay. But here's the tough part.
There's no evidence that points to it. Like, same with Roger, there's no...
No, Bonds did it.
But there's no...
There was a lot of evidence
There's no failed test that proves that he did it.
Well, you're exactly right.
You're basically the same as Roger. You're taking the words of drug dealers versus drug users or alleged drug users.
Yes, you're right. But here's the other thing. Here's the way I qualified. I was totally surprised. I thought position players were the ones that would do it because you get bigger and stronger, and that the whole concept of pitching is you didn't want to be muscle bound. You had to retain a great deal of flexibility. what stunned me in all this was how many pitchers were doing
yeah.
it. So there were a lot of guys doing it, and I hate to put a number on it because I have no clue what the number is, what percentage is. So you get pitchers that were facing hitters and hitters that were facing pitchers that all had done steroids. And so how do you, you know.
That's why I've always said take the best of the guys.
If
you assume that most people were cheating, which yeah. – I wouldn't argue with you if you did say yeah. that there was a majority of the players in Major League Baseball were using yeah. at that time.
Yeah.
Whoever did the best, those were the best guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they still were the best. Barry Bonds was the best player before he started
Agreed.
Doing anything, and he was the best player when he was doing it. And I actually think, this is my opinion, for what I want, I think what Barry saw, he saw Mark McGwire and Sosa hitting all the home runs and getting all the glory. Barry Bonds knew he was the best player in the game. And so I think he decided, you know, I'm going to go out and try this, and I'm going to get it the right way. So he got the guy in California, Balfour Group, and all that to design something properly and tried to do it without going to the Gold's Gym or wherever you would
right.
go. I shouldn't say Gold's Gym, but wherever you would go to get these kind of things. And then he proved that, hey, I'm the best player. I'll go to the same level. You're
right.
going, I'm the best player. And he was. He was unbelievable at that time.
You know, if we've talked about this before, and obviously the 2005 season is the most memorable because it's when the Astros made it to the World Series. But you could argue that 2004 team was an even better team.
It was a better team.
They just yeah. didn't make it as far. I mean, were you surprised after the 2005 – or, you know – in hindsight, the 2005 team is the one that made it to a World Series and the 2004 didn't?
No question. I was surprised. And we had a better team. Drayton was always famous about coming into the clubhouse and saying, you know, his catchphrase was, you want to be a champion. And then he would say, the next one, what can I do for you to help you be a champion? And so during the middle part of that season, I said, Drayton, there's nothing right now, but I'm going to ask you for something here pretty soon. So we got down to the trade deadline, and I said, I need another starting pitcher. I need another really starting pitcher. And we just couldn't come up with something that was we felt like it was any better than what we had. And so in the end, the final game we had in St. Louis, we just ran out of starting pitching. We got down in that final game and just couldn't catch back up. So I thought 2004 was the team that we should have gone. 2005, we got a rookie center fielder, and we don't have Jeff Kent anymore. Biggio's going back to second base. Things just clicked. I mean, it just clicked, and we played well.
Was there a pitcher that you remember in 2004 that you wanted?
No, there were a couple of guys I don't remember a couple of names, but there were a couple of lesser-known guys that we thought like
– You just needed somebody to eat some innings.
We need somebody that could – all I needed to get four innings.
Right.
All I did, we couldn't get out of the third.
Yeah.
That was what it was. Because we had a good – we had the bullpen lined up.
Yeah.
From literally, if we got to the sixth
Seventh
inning,
on.
we were unbelievable. If you got us to the sixth, we were – because Qualls was pitching really well. Wheeler was pitching really well. We were solid. If you could get me five innings, you know, we were really good.
It gets talked about a lot, but the impact of Pujols' homer in 2005, because suddenly Brad Lidge isn't the same pitcher even against the White Sox. You have to push back Oswalt to win that series.
Yeah.
How much did that affect going into the World Series? Would it have been a different series if you could have lined it up with Oswalt? If you still have
– If I start with Oswalt and start off the series, yeah, instead of having a plan. It's a good question, and it's a good discussion. I don't know. I literally don't know. It was, you know, it was a great story. We go into St. Louis, and Roy pitches the game of his life up there, and so we get into the World Series. But and when I look back on it, there were close games, and the only thing I can, you know, say about the World Series, would it have changed if Roy had been the first starter instead of Clemens? I don't know. But what was indicative for the series for me was when they got into tough at-bats, they stayed in the at-bats longer in the tough at-bats. In each game, all four games, when there was a key moment, they fouled off our quality pitches, and then if we made a mistake, they put it in play. And we didn't do that, and that was the turning point in the game. We had good at-bats, but just not as tough at-bats as they were having in those situations. And the one that was most indicative was the game when we got back here that Roy pitched, and we were ahead in the game. It was in probably the fifth inning, and their big right fielder was at the plate. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but he fought off about 12 pitches of Roy's, and Roy threw him a really good breaking ball on like the 13th pitch, and he rifled it into center field, scored a couple runs, next couple of pitches were in the middle of the plate, and bang, bang, you know, they hit them. So the game turned on those little bitty nuances, and so each game did. So I don't know. Had it been a difference? I don't know. I'd love to go back and see, because if we get that pitch to Pujols where we want it, which was about 3 inches lower, he swings and misses. You know he's going to swing, but
yeah, and then Lidge wasn't the same in the series after that either.
Well, he gave up one home run to Podesta, which was the only one he hit all year that year, and then he was okay after that. And then people forget that he went back to he left and went to Philadelphia and blew him right through the whole year. Didn't lose a save, go right to the World Series. You know, he was phenomenal. So he did come back from it.
All right, that's Phil Garner, and confession time. You were always one of my favorite players when I was, especially when I was in high school, you and Denny Walling over at third base for the Astros. Even
high school? Wait a minute. Yeah. You just throw me a bone here and say college or something?
And I don't want to tell you, I'm an old man, so I'd love to make you feel better, but you look better than I do at your age. So there, you got that going for you. But, man, appreciate you spending some time with us. Good stuff. Hopefully we can do this again.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.